Don't you love when God moves, church? Amen. Don't you love when God works? It's an amazing thing. Well, let's get right into it. We don't want to delay. We want to keep this going. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I've just got a few verses for you, but I have a lot that I want to get across in as best a way I can. I always try to get my little moment with God to focus on God's word, and I was blessed that in the job that I have now, randomly there will be moments of time where I'm freed up to be able to do whatever needs done. Usually it'll be me communicating with my wife, planning the rest of our week, the rest of our day, figuring out what we're going to be doing, but just communicating, keeping up that wonderful relationship I have with my wonderful wife. I know Brother Dixon is still looking for this wonderful daughter of his, but I've already found her. And I married her. But I get these random moments in my day to where I'm just able to just focus in on whatever might need to be done because I am blessed. I thank God for everything that I have been given. And I had a random moment at work where I was able to just sit down, open up my Bible because I did take a Bible and I left it at work. I left it at my workstation. And even the guys who will come around, it's a good way to bring up just God at work. And they start it. I don't have to. So I get to talk about God because they started it. Nobody can say that I'm going around preaching to people when they're the ones asking questions because they see that word of God there. But I had an opportunity to begin to focus on the word of God, and I began to pray. And I was pretty much told, you already have the whole thing written down. I was like, I already have the whole thing written down. Well, this ought to be interesting. So sure enough, I came across this lesson that I had taught to somebody years and years ago. So let's get to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you once again for allowing us to gather this evening. We thank you for your wonderful presence that we feel here today, God. We pray that you continue to work and move among us, God, to work upon us, to understand your word and the things that you have for each and every one of us. In your great name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to take a quick detour, if you will. I want to talk about a very famous fictional individual. And I also bear this nickname, Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam, very famous fictional individual, and he represents typically either the government or the country as a whole. And he became very famous in the early to mid 19th century. Where's he at? He was supposed to show up. There he is. Yeah. This was him. Especially during wartime, I want you for the U.S. Army. Enlist right now. It was a way to get people motivated that, hey, your country needs you. Your people need you. Your family needs you. It was a way to motivate people to let them know that, hey, you are wanted and you are needed. You are wanted and you are needed. And this is really what I want to get across to you. Not to convince you to join the Army, join the military. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm not a recruiter. I'm not getting any kind of benefit from this. But I want to tell you about joining Jesus. Because Jesus wants you. I want you to follow Jesus. Because Jesus wants you. Like we just read, and I had written key notes with each of the verses when I was giving this quick little Bible study to this individual. And I said, listen to these key words in this first scripture, and it's that all should come to repentance. Not everyone chooses to come to God. Some choose not to. Jesus died and rose again because he loves everyone and wants everyone, but not everyone wants Jesus. And that's a sad thing. But I really want you to think about who it is we're talking about right now. Jesus. Jesus wants you. Each and every one of you. Now, if you were at home, you got a knock at the door and you went to the door and it was, I don't know, whatever famous celebrity, individual, whether they be real or fictional, showed up at your door, knocked on your door, said, hey, I want to be your friend. And you'd freak out a little bit if it was your idol, if you will, this famous celebrity that you absolutely love and adore. Y'all are all Christians. Y'all don't have it. Man, if Bob and Larry from VeggieTales showed up, I'd be so happy. Love Bob and Larry. They're awesome. VeggieTales. For walking cucumber and tomato. That's why I don't eat vegetables, because I love VeggieTales. That's why I don't do it. But you know, if a famous individual showed up and said, hey, I want to be your friend, you'd freak out a little bit. Oh my God, it's so-and-so, whoever that might be. Whoever it might be. Typically, celebrities are rich, so if they want to be your friend, hey, friends help you out. They'll help you out. They'll help you take care of some of your problems. But think about this. This individual who wants you, Jesus, the God of all creation, the God who can give anything, the God who can do anything, who has no limitations, Jesus wants you. He wants you so much that he died for you. But not only that, he rose again for you. That's how much Jesus wants you. He wants you so much he died for you, then didn't stay dead and rose again. That's how much Jesus wants you. It's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence. I'm going to embarrass some people. You'll be all right. Amelia, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know a lot of things are happening, both good and bad. Nope, I don't talk to your mom. I don't talk to your dad. I don't know anything. The thing about being a youth leader, God tells me what's going on with the youth. That's part of being the youth leader. As the pastor, God tells him what's going on in each of your lives. He can look at you and God will just start talking to him, say, hey, this is what's going on in their life. God will just tell you those things. Things you don't even tell your parents. Things you don't tell your spouses. That leadership that God puts over you, God talks to them. They're there for a reason, to try and help. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know there are things, both good and bad, that are happening. But you have to hold on to Jesus. Brother and Sister Way, you guys are seeing it. These four little kids, they're copying you of their own decision. Even the little baby here will go up and kneel at the altar of her own decision in the middle of worship, in the middle of prayer, whatever it might be. She'll get up and start running around without either of you guiding her. You guys see your children and how God is starting to work in their lives. But you have to be the example. You have to show them, because it starts with you. Because Jesus wants you, but he also wants your children. And you decide where these children are going to end up. They're still in your house. They're still under your control, if you will. You still get to decide. Make the right decision. Because I feel like God is about to bless you guys through these children that you have. Even more, even more. You don't really understand all the things that God is doing. And you know what? Sister Dakota, it's not an accident that whatever started happening in your life to make you feel like you needed to start showing up to church again, start showing up with your family. God wants you. God loves you. God cares about you. Every one of us. Even those who have been here in church for decades and decades. Brother Tony, Brother and Sister Dixon, Sister Janice. They've given decades of their lives, but still Jesus wants you. I say the four of them because they've been at this church the longest of all the adults since I first started coming here. They're still here. All four of them have faced incredible pain in years. All four of them have gone through some hard things in their lives. All four of them experienced loss
all of them have gone through some tough times in living for God, but they're still here because they know Jesus wants them. And if we can gain that same mentality, church, sure, there are days that are harder for them than others. But for them, I'm sure some days they just wake up, I've been in it this long, I might as well just keep on going. It feels like that. And other days, they're just already gung-ho and ready to go, ready to do whatever God wants. Some days are hard, some days are easy. They know. I've known them for a long, long time, especially Tony. I've known him all my life. But Jesus wants you. Really understand, Jesus wants you. Sister Adrian, Jesus wants you too. Jesus wants you. He wants to do something with your life. What it is, I don't know. I'm not told everything. I am not the pastor. I am not the shepherd of this church. I do get little glimpses as I am in leadership because that's what God does. But the full glimpse, the full understanding, I don't always have. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." The key words in this verse are, "Ye have been called unto liberty." One of liberty's many meanings is the power to act as one pleases. What better country to be in to talk about liberty than the United States? Because we are given so many freedoms. And some might say, oh, well, there's so many rules and so many restrictions. Well, see how dumb some people act each and every day, and they get away with it. There's a lot of freedoms in this country. Not everybody in every country can freely come and gather together to worship God. Not everybody can freely say whatever they want out in public because it's restricted. Every one of you can go out and in your workplace, you are able to talk about God because it is a freedom that you have in this country. You don't have to worry about any kind of repercussions that are going to come against you. But you have been called unto liberty, the power to act as you please. Part of this conversation that I had with this individual was the discussion of predestination. And their complaint was, well, God already knows everything that's going to happen. So each and every person is predestined to go to heaven, and each and every person is predestined to go to hell. And I said, no, that's not true. Whether you go to heaven or hell is up to you. The same way, whether you choose God or not is up to you. Jesus wants you, but he is not going to force you to follow him. That's the amazing thing about God. Jesus does not force himself in anyone's life. He wants you to willingly choose him. Willingly choose him. So if you choose to do what's right, if you choose to follow God, then guess what? By those choices, yes, you have predestined yourself because you know where you're going if you do what's right. If you live for God and have the Holy Ghost, repent and follow God like you're supposed to be doing, you're not going to the lake of fire. That's not where you're going to end up. God's not going to pull that trick on you. Oh, well, you did everything right. You know where you're going. You're going to the lake of fire. Well, hold up. No, that's not what's going to happen. You know you're going to heaven. Because that's what your decisions and your actions have determined. And the thing is, God knows the outcome of whether you choose good or bad. God knows what your life is going to be like if you keep choosing to do what's wrong. And God knows what your life is going to be like if you choose to do what's right. And he's letting you make that choice. Sometimes will God try to knock you back on the right path? Yeah, sometimes he will. But guess what? God gets tired of correcting us. Did you know that? God gets tired of trying to correct us. And that's the other thing that people tend to forget, is that God, now understand what I'm saying. God is not omnipresent. God is nigh omnipresent. Because, and even the Bible says, God will not enter into you unless you want him to. Unless you choose God. Now, yes, we breathe the breath of life. Again, understand what I'm saying. Yes, without God's very existence, we cannot live, we cannot breathe, we cannot exist. But God will not force you to love him. He will not go into your emotions and into your heart to force you to love him. That is why I say God is nigh omnipresent, and this is by choice, because God does not force himself where he is not wanted. Tell me, do you guys go where you're not wanted? Do you go to places where you know you're going to be hated, you're going to be spat on and cussed at and attacked? No, nobody does that. Nobody goes where they're not wanted. God's not going to do that either. And again, please understand what I'm trying to say in that I say that God is nigh omnipresent because he is nigh omnipresent by choice, not because he can't be. If God really wanted to, yes, he could force himself into somebody's life. Yes, God could force somebody to love him. But what kind of love is that? It's not love. It's fear. And that's not what God wants. In HVAC, we dip a little bit into science. And in science, we learn that there is no such thing as cold. I know everybody's like, what are you talking about, Brother Samuel? Have you gone outside? It's cold outside. But once again, in actuality, there is no such thing as cold. Cold is simply the absence of heat. That is what it means. That's what cold means, is there is a certain level of absence of heat. That's what it means. Same thing with light and dark. There's not really anything that is dark. And if you read the Bible, you'd really understand that, because the Bible even says there was a lesser light and a greater light. A lesser light to rule the night and a greater light to rule the day. That we call darkness and we call night. Or we call darkness and we call day. Darkness is the absence of light. The thing about good and evil is that evil is the absence of God in your life, because you choose not to have God in your life. That's sin, and that's evil. And one of the things you will notice is that all of the men and women of God, when they talk about sin in particular, they don't say sin against somebody else. They don't say sin against so-and-so. They don't say sin against myself. They say sin against God. Sin against God. Joseph, when Potiphar's wife came chasing after him, he said, I will not commit this sin against God. Not against her, not against himself, not against Potiphar, but against God. David himself said, I have sinned against God. Sin goes against God, because, for lack of a better word, and like I said, please understand what I'm trying to say, is sin is God's opposite. Sin is a lack of God in your life. When you begin to stray away from God, you are, in fact, lessening the amount of Jesus you have in your life. Just as we were saying, cold is just a lack of heat. You no longer have that Holy Ghost fire inside you. You no longer have that light of Jesus because you allow darkness into your life. Jesus wants you, church. Joshua 24:15, one that so many preachers have said so many times, I'm pretty sure half of you can quote it. And it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve,
whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. The key words in this is choose you this day whom you will serve. The choice is yours. We all freely make. Each and every one of you, every single day, has to wake up and of your own desire and of your own choice, has to choose Jesus. Because Jesus wants you. But Brother Samuel, I need more than just words. You experienced literally a few minutes ago. You guys remember that feeling that you all felt probably about 30 minutes ago? Did you forget? Like when we go home right after service and you forget everything that was said? It all just flips out your mind. You don't even remember. Who remembers the three songs besides the singers and the musicians? Who remembers the three songs that were just sang? And my wife. She's not allowed to guess. But who remembers all three songs that were sang? All right, sure, you knew who did the preliminaries. I hope everybody remembers who did the preliminaries. It was Adam. In case anybody forgot, because you know when you go home, it's all gone. But you know that feeling we felt just a little bit ago when everybody was praying, when everybody was seeking God? That was Jesus wanting you. Yes. That was you feeling the love of God literally upon you as Jesus was trying to say, hey, I want you. I love you. Yes. Jesus wants us. But as you'll notice, Jesus didn't just force himself into our lives. He didn't just take over every single person in here and everybody started speaking in tongues. Would that have been amazing? Yes, that would have been amazing. But that is not what God is going to do, because as even Brother Tony said, hey, stop resisting, all of you who are resisting. Because, yes, if you felt it, that's the amazing thing about prayer is when you really start praying, you can feel who's resisting and who's not. Especially when you've been living for God for a long time and you spend a lot of time. You can feel when certain people are resisting. You can. Even those who have been in church for forever. I can feel the times Brother Tony's resisting, Sister Janice, Brother Dixon, Sister Dixon. They've been here for forever, but I can feel if they resist. Because guess what? They have bad days. Guess what? They're people. Did you guys know that? Oh my God. They're humans. They fail. They fall. They make mistakes, as we like to nicely say. It's sin. But, you know, they make mistakes in their life. I've seen all four of them angry. I've seen all four of them happy. Three of them more than others, I haven't been around Sister Janice too much, but I've seen her get upset. Oh yeah, Sister Kelly, she never gets. Sarcasm. I'm trying to get extra food for dinner tonight. No, I'm just kidding. But that feeling we felt was Jesus wanting each and every one of us. Jesus wanting us to pray and seek after him. Jesus wanting us to open our hearts, open our minds, to open ourselves to him. Because Jesus wants us. And some of you did it. Some of you did open up yourselves like you were supposed to. And I'll brag on them. Amelia did it. She opened up herself to God. There were a couple others. My wife. I can brag on my wife. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There was a couple others. Some of the musicians got onto them. Some of the children, you could see them. You could see when people open up themselves and just receive Jesus. That's the amazing thing is about allowing God into your heart is it's the easiest hard thing to do. Because it's so easy all you got to do is just let go. But at the same time, you have to let go. And the thing about all of us is we don't like to let go. We like to have control of everything. We don't, because letting go means letting God take control. It takes a very strong individual to live for God. Because I'll tell you right now, it's very easy to sin. It is very easy. It is not a hard thing to do, to go out there and do. It literally happened today.
in Nashville. Somebody just decided, you know what? I'm going to commit a horrible evil. And they did it. And I hate to try and explain it this way, but really, in God's eyes, it's no different. But in God's eyes, murder is no different than lying. How many of you woke up and how many of you lied today? Don't raise your hands. Please don't. Please don't. How many of you lied today? I mean, I might have been playing a joke, but I mean, you could say I literally lied just a second ago. But again, I'm making an example. But in God's eyes, that whatever, if you lied today to God, that was no better than the individual who shot at that school. But here's the amazing thing is Jesus still wants you. Amen. The amazing thing about God is his mercies are renewed every day. Yes. God sees all the sin of each and every one of us here. Because you forget, sometimes even, the Bible says, if a man look upon a woman to lust after her, he hath committed sin with her in his heart. Guess what? That's still sin. Even though you did not commit the physical action, the thought process and allowing that to happen is a sin. So guess what? It works the same way if in your mind you've attacked an individual who cut you off in the road. You hate your brother, you hate your sister, you hate somebody, you got angry with somebody at work, at school, whatever the case might be. In God's eyes, you committed murder. You committed an act of violence against somebody. But God's mercies are renewed. Despite all of our failures that we commit each and every day, guess what? Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you. Each and every one of you here, Jesus wants you. But just like we read in the first verse, do you want Jesus? Because I can tell you, it's easy to show up to church and put on a mask and put on an act. It's easy. I've seen people do it, and I've been guilty of doing it just to fake it to get through a service because I didn't feel like it. It happens to us. It happens, church. It's the realities of life. That's what it is. It's not some devil possessing you. It's your own flesh that you have to fight with each and every day that causes you so many problems. Your problems are not the devil. It's not all these spirits. It's not all this, all that foolishness. 99% of the time, it's you just having to fight your own flesh that God wrapped you in to get it under submission. Because some days I wake up, I'm happy as can be. I wake up just not even groggy, just happy and just on my way. Some days I wake up and I just want to lay in bed all day. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to eat. I don't want to deal with nobody. I don't want to look at the twins who are making all kinds of noise. I don't want my wife asking me to do 15 different things that I'm going to forget in 5 seconds. It happens to each and every one of us. It's things that happen in our flesh. I'm joking to try and get the point across that every day is different for each and every one of us. Every day we wake up. Tomorrow, some of y'all are going to wake up in a fantastic mood. Tomorrow, some of y'all are going to be absolute grouches. Whether you have a bad night's rest, or you sleep wrong and your back hurts, whatever it might be, something's going to happen. You know, that one individual who you did not want to see that day is going to show up first thing and just aggravate you right off the bat, just ruin your day. But every day we have to choose Jesus. Every day we have to wake up and decide, you know what, I'm going to do what's right, despite what comes against me. Because despite all of our failures, Jesus still wants you. Amen. Let's all stand together. Jesus wants you, church. Jesus wants you, each and every person here. I wish there would have been more people here, but those who are here are the ones who are here. And you got to hear this message. You got to hear the word of God be spoken to you. And I pray that you take this message and you share it with those around you, those at work, at school, in whatever capacity you are able to talk to people about God. Please One of the easiest things you can do just to witness to somebody is to tell someone, hey, Jesus loves you. Amen. That's all you have to say. Walk away right afterwards. But when you feel that unction from the Lord to just tell somebody, hey, Jesus loves you, I can't tell you how many times that simple sentence has done so much to change an individual's day. I've seen people literally just fall on their knees and cry just from hearing, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you, every one of you. The God of all creation, the God who can do anything at the blink of an eye, at the speaking of a word, God who can do anything, who has control of time and space, who can erase you from existence if he so choose. He wants you. He wants you. Jesus wants you.
Amen. Praise God. Can we clap our hands up to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.